Support for KNKX comes from Portage Bay Cafe, now offering local, organic, and sustainable breakfast to go for large parties, corporate events, and more. Ordering available online at portagebaycafe.com.
Our Northwest Homecoming Week continues in the KNKX studios today with the incredible Jessica Lurie, a major force on the Seattle music scene going back to the 90s. Jessica helped form the Billy Tipton Saxophone Quartet, played in the great trio Living Daylight. So those are two groups that introduced me to the idea that music didn't have to be categorized in any particular genre. It's jazz, but it's so much more. Jessica's music has taken her around the world, and she's incorporated the sounds of Eastern Europe, Central and South America, and beyond. She was featured in the 2009 jazz documentary Icons Among Us, and her terrific new album is called Long Haul, featuring her new hometown band in New York City. But she's always at home here in Seattle, and this band is proof. Joining Jessica's alto sax and flute, Naomi Moonsiegel is here on trombone, Andy Coe on guitar, the mighty Ben Feldman at the bass, Tariq Abuzaid behind the drums. Please welcome the Jessica Lurie Ensemble.
Thank you.
The Jessica Lurie Ensemble live on 88.5 KNKX. Andy Koh guitar, Naomi Moon Siegel trombone, Ben Feldman bass, Tariq Abuzaid drumming. Jessica, boy, is it really a thrill to have you here in our studios. Thank you so much for being here.
Thanks so much.
I would love to, I kind of mentioned in my introduction, the idea of escaping the box of the genre. And I wonder if that's something that came easily to you. I know you had cool parents that played cool music when you were growing up. Did it come from your cool parents, or is this something that you had to work to create?
Yeah, they liked a lot of different kind of music. My dad was a classical player, but both of my parents, yeah, they loved going to all kinds of shows. And I don't know, in the Seattle scene, there's been a lot of, and still is a lot of crossing of a lot of different genres. And coming back here after college, I don't know, when I sort of getting my professional life together, everybody was sort of playing everything. Like, there's Seattle's a rock town, but there's the jazz thing, and there's the free thing, and there's everyone's in the Latin band, and then the African band, and then the kind of quasi-Balkan thing, and then there's this sort of, you know, funk groove sideways thing. I don't know. It seemed like it's a lot of eclectic stuff was happening, and I got to play a lot of it, and I like a lot of different kinds of music, so I don't know that I had to work at it. I don't know if that means that I have short attention span, but but I like a lot of different kinds of music. And certainly playing with the Tiptons and Amy DiNio, it's all her fault in the best way. She really introduced me to a lot of different kinds of music. Also, in arranging those songs for a saxophone quartet was how we could be also very vocal and through our saxophones. And it exposed me to different ways of arranging and different ways of thinking about music and just listening to a whole bunch of new stuff. I guess I've always been curious about a lot of different kinds of music. It's all effed up folk tunes to me. That's the kind of music I write. Relentlessly eclectic.
Now, you made a great point about the Seattle music in the 90s. It was a lot of everything going on, but I think a lot of people look back at it and think as a rock era, as you said, a rock and roll town. And I wonder if any of that rock and roll energy influenced the way you played your music.
Yeah.
I mean, it was the time when jazz bands were playing in rock and roll clubs and sometimes sharing the bill with rock bands.
Jazz bands in the color box.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, certainly like Living Daylights, where we play with effects and we're louder than all get out. we were sort of the punky rocking jazz. Like we did play in nice jazz clubs for nice people often, but we were very loud at it. But yeah, I think definitely that aesthetic of kind of rocking out and being, it's more of aesthetic as opposed to necessarily playing like this jazz tune. We're going to play it like the way Queensryche would, you know. I think that plays into it in some ways.
Jessica Lurie is here.
Being very dynamic.
Right.
How's that for a vague answer?
Jessica Lurie's ensemble is at the Royal Room Saturday night for two sets. The new record is Long Haul. I'm going to talk about the new record and your relocation to Brooklyn in the next break. But I want to see Jessica get the flute out, and we're going to hear another song. Tell us a little bit about this number, Jessica.
This is called Straight Out of Everything, and it's kind of a Jewish-Cuban number. It's just got another one of those songs that where you can hear a plethora of influences. It's kind of a lounge number. I don't know. And I think I wrote it at a time where I was feeling somewhat overloaded, and this was like it was the Zen meditation of lounge flute jazz. How's that?
Can't
that doesn't
wait to
sound
hear
very
it.
Appealing. I'm not sure about that. Gender bending meditation music.
What is this going to sound like? Take it away. Jessica Lurie Ensemble live on 88.5.
One, two, three, four. Thank you.
Jessica Lurie on the flute, leading an ensemble with Naomi Moon Siegel at the trombone, Tarek Abuzaid drumming, Ben Feldman bass, Andy Coe at the guitar. Tell us about the move to New York. Why would anyone leave the Pacific Northwest? What finally drew you?
At the time, I sort of asked my ex-husband that, too. I know, is that a loaded statement? No, I mean, you know, it's kind of something you got to try once or twice. And my ex at the time is Daniel Jezuli is a fantastic illustrator. And so it made a lot of sense to be in New York for that. And also, I don't know, I wanted to try living in New York. And at the time also, as has continued since we moved there, I'm back and forth from the West Coast. My mother says I have bicoastalism, like it's a disease. And so I've always sort of had, you know, I've always feel like a Seattleite in New York, though I understand it very well. And I really love the stuff I'm doing there, but I also am very glad that I get to be out here as often as I do. And
The Long Haul record is really, there's a lot of diversity and it's a lot of different styles and tempos. And I wonder if that was your plan from the start or is that just a happy accident? Did you compose all the songs around the same time or is it a collection of different
eras? It's a collection of, like, four of the tunes I actually wrote a while ago, some of them like 4 or 5 years ago, and they have sort of evolved and been rearranged. And then we started recording in August of last year in Eugene, which because this fabulous studio, Gung Ho Studios, on the edge of Eugene. You can watch goats when you're taking breaks between takes. And then we finished recording in this year, early this year. So there were a bunch of new tunes that were written in end of 2015 and 2016. So I don't know that there was a tempo strategy, but it was kind of like, this is the first CD with my ensemble that I've done in 5 years. It was kind of coming out of like everything went really south and then it went colloquially north again. So then I got a new CD out. It's like coming out of a bunch of stuff. So I guess, and it's dedicated to my father, Jim Lurie, who passed away a couple of years ago. I guess the title Long Haul is sort of, it's like Living Daylights, where it could be a negative thing, like I'm going to beat the living daylights out of you, but we try to take the positive side. So it's like Long Haul. It's like, yeah, in it for the long haul in a good way, not just like, oh no, the long haul, like, this mortal coil, all that sort of stuff. Right. So it's kind of trying to have a positive outlook coming out of a lot of interesting and educational life experiences.
For instrumental music, I always end up learning a little bit more about art that's not music when I'm picking up a Jessica Lurie record. For instance, A Tiger for William Kentridge, written and inspired by the South African illustrator and animator. Had never heard of William Kentridge, and it's a fantastic song.
He's incredible. He's actually done some productions, set designs in Seattle. I think he did Orpheus. That's actually, I believe it was Orpheus that I saw that was in... Wasn't it Sam? But anyway, I saw some of his work and then that led me to check out a whole bunch more of his stuff. And yeah, he's incredible. And how he incorporates music also in his animated films is really beautiful. And he's also a very political activist. And
fantastic,
check him out.
Lead singer William from Kentridge. The record. Excellent. And this next song has a bit of a story, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes. This is one of my favorite books when I was a kid. It's Baba Yaga, the Witch. She wasn't a very nice person, but she had a lot of cool... gear she had. So this song is called Baba Yaga's Seven League Boots, because she traveled in seven league boots and she lived in a house on chicken legs, and she also traveled with a mortar and pestle. I'm not really sure how that worked, like standing in the mortar. The pestle is the grind herb.
Yeah.
So anyway, she used to eat people too. It wasn't so great, but anyway, so this is kind of about her, but it's also about like the young lovers who are escaping her clutches and they go, nah, nah, it's one part. Anyway, yeah, Baba Yaga's Seven League Boots.
We'll be right back. We'll be right back.
Thank you.